Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we are talking about INO, Internet Native Organization. And with me is the core team behind the idea, Astra, Javier, and Paulina. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting.
What's the idea? How did you come up with the idea that we need an to set up an INO? For who? Why?
We actually met in April 2022. Yeah, I guess it was then. And the original idea or feeling that something like this is needed came actually from our co-founder, who is not right now here, who is named Vatten, PS. He came to me, and then we found these two guys, like Paulina and Javier. So in the end, we managed to build a team who understands what's the future of organizations. And the future of organizations is digital. So we have seen that in Estonia, but the rest of the world is not yet there, we can say. And also in Estonia, there is a lot to do in that field. And what we are talking about here, what is a digital organization, or what is INO, Internet Native Organization, it means that everything that you have in organization is related to a blockchain. It's possible to collect data, to play with data, to have transparency, to bring more trust to the whole business environment. And when we talk about decentralization in business environment, we can say it is a new topic. Right now, when we talk with mainstream business doers, they are not actually into that yet. So our main goal is to bring decentralized autonomous organization tools and solutions to the mainstream. It doesn't mean that we want to absolutely decentralize organizations that all we have, like OUs in Estonia or MTUs, NGOs, LLCs. We don't want to decentralize everything. This is not our goal. But the goal is to have more transparency, build up more community, bring technology behind the legal stuff, behind the ideas. Yeah. And shortly, this is a big goal. And of course, there are a lot to do. Small activities behind that.
What do the regulators say? I mean, having a decentralized organization sounds probably rather, criminal to many of them.
There is nothing, not much said yet. That's the point. And that's probably why we started this, because there is no general knowledge about it from everyone, including government. So that's...
Yeah, if we talk about Estonia, definitely we are very early. But why we actually became very excited about this topic, of course, anyone who knows about DAOs, anyone who has heard about decentralized autonomous organizations, they probably have heard that something happened back in US, something they did there. So what they did, they regulated DAOs. What it means that they stated they have a regulation. Shortly, they have issued guidance on DAOs, and they're stating that DAOs may be considered like securities. And it means they fall under federal securities laws. And what it means that if you have a security, if you want to do something with it, you want to provide services, you need a license. So it's not just like easy game that, I'm a DAO, I'm in the cloud, nobody knows who I am. No, it's not about that. So definitely, when it comes to regulations, then Estonia is not there yet. Estonia doesn't know anything about, not much, we can say. But when we talk about the world itself, then shortly we can say that DAOs are regulated already in US. They are regulated also in Japan. Japan is a very good example because they have also a register. And DAOs, they have to... Literally, it's the same register system like in Estonia for simple OUs companies, right? Singapore, Switzerland, Malta, and Canada have regulated, kind of regulated, because they have issued guidance what is a DAO, and they state that it goes under securities, that it might go. It depends on the project, of course. So in that sense, it's a very messy environment, and that's also the reason why we are here doing this project. We are not like ourselves, like the most smartest people on DAO topics. You know, this is not our goal. We don't want to be the like brain number one in the world, but we want to gather the brains together and then move forward to the solutions which could be used in Estonia or outside of Estonia. So, yep.
Yeah, I would say that like there are several DAOs that are, we could say, the OGs, the original masters, like building solutions and in a decentralized way. And most of them are actually not even registered. They operate under some foundation or under some other company. And some of them, they have no legal entity at all. And that has some problems, because there was even the case in the US where everybody, as part of the DAO, was liable for the actions of the DAO. So it meant that you, as a person that joins a community, if that community does something wrong, you are liable for that. And well, that case is still ongoing, it's not closed, and they are having also problems to how to take that into court, because it's decentralized. So who is going to go there and defend the organization? So that's, it's not so simple in terms of how to regulate that. It depends a lot on the different cases that there are. Like simple cases as investment DAOs, so people that gather together and put money together to invest in a topic, well, that's a bit easier. And there are companies that are already providing that service. I mean, the service that you build up your DAO and you have legal entity and you have everything solved in legal terms in front of the government and so on. But some men, like all the other possible cases basically are still like to be discussed on what is the best way to go around it without being something illegal and without having limitless liability.
How would you describe, what is INO then? Is it I don't know, a promotional agency for DAOs, or
could be?
The mission is INO is bringing DAO to the mainstream. And our vision is to help Estonia become the first country in Europe to offer legal entity status for DAOs. So it's pretty challenging as a mission, and we don't know if how it's going to be possible. But what we know is that we can work on education of the community, have a dialogue with regulator, also understand how they understand DAOs and the challenges behind, and bring together a marketplace as well. So we are working on more than on investigation, bring people together, and let's see where it brings, because it's quite a new topic. So we don't know how this can be developed in Estonia, but we are here to help.
But to have legal status for the decentralized organization, that's kind of, it's almost like an oxymoron, no?
Yeah, that's why we have this name, Internet Native Organization. Because if you compare these two, you will see that Internet Native Organization doesn't tell you anything about decentralization, right? So it means that you're internet native. You are using the internet for your organizational needs, like governance, treasury. So this is all about blockchain. So like Paulina said previously, we want to bring the DAO solutions, that the tools that DAOs are using, we want to bring them to the business environment for the normal companies to use them.
But to be internet native, you don't really need blockchain, do you?
No, but you can leverage that. The point is that when we started studying DAOs in deep, we discovered that quite often DAOs were either not decentralized or either not at all autonomous. And actually, most of the DAOs are knowledgeable about that. They realize that it's not the ideal way of a DAO. And that's also something that regulators and, let's say, laws or more than low scores they can account is that they try to find who is actually behind it, try to find if it's actually decentralized or not, because if it's not decentralized, there's liable people for that.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often it's easy to find who is behind. So that's why we decided that it doesn't make sense for us to say like a DAO, since either it's not going to be decentralized or either not autonomous. But and that's why we are talking more about the idea of DAOs and what DAOs are like putting the attention into. It's like democratization and also distributing the value among all the stakeholders, all the participants. So that's why what we are focusing on. And as Batan would say, it doesn't necessarily need blockchain. I would rather say that it does for certain things, and it helps to distribute liabilities and to like have, let's say, a technological trust, I would call it.
Mm-hmm.
Blockchain is a really good tool that offers like a decentralized trust, in the sense that you don't have to trust in the government or in an intermediary. You have like the base layer. Of course, on top of that, you can use a lot of other technologies, not just blockchain. So it doesn't mean that everything needs to be decentralized, but many things can be.
Mm.
And that's what we need to go forward to, to go to. And that's basically what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I was just thinking that to be internet native, basically, you know, if you run your company's data on Google Cloud, you're kind of internet native.
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. But maybe a good point to understand what DAO can bring to us in this new environment we're living in, where everybody's on phones, right, is a good example of maybe this Ukraine DAO. Maybe you've heard of that. So as we are having this war between Ukraine and Russia, so what happened last year was that Ukraine citizens made Ukraine DAO, and they helped to raise funds against to buy literally war weapons, right, against Russia. And this is one example. And what is very very cute about it, I mean, war is a very hard topic, but the cool thing about this project is that it's open source. And you can track who gave the money to who, what they did with this money, and what happened actually after end. So, and if we are talking about blockchain, so this is what it is providing, right? And it's a bit like dangerous thought to think that everything is transparent, then probably no one wants to sleep anymore during the night. They're like all, you know, worried. But it's cool that you can do something like this. So imagine charity projects, all transparent, and we can actually save the world. Right now, we don't know what is actually happening in charity section.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money laundering is there, right?
Political elections.
Yeah,
that's a topic across Europe, not only here but everywhere else also, where the money is coming from, right?
Yeah, this is very, very difficult topic. I would say that charity is more
easier.
Yeah, I'm not very optimistic there. Yeah.
Okay.
But I would also say that, since the term INO can be very broad, it's true that you could argue that the internet native is any organization that is using the internet as the main
using
technology.
Browser to get the information.
Yeah, which is pretty much everything nowadays. But we still have in mind the ideas of DAO and the ways of that DAO work. I mean, still our idea is to bring DAO. I know it's a term that includes a bit more, but what we have still in mind is the DAO. And the idea of using blockchain is that it's a neutral tool, and it's open to everyone, or at least it has the potential to be open to everyone. And maybe in countries in Europe or in the US, it sounds like, okay, but everything is already in the internet and it's very easy to use and whatever, but in many other countries it is not. And that's the argument for Web3 or cryptocurrencies and these kind of things, that in Europe it's like, oh, we already have internet banking, why do we need cryptocurrencies? Or we have like very easy payment methods. Yes, we do, but in many other countries they don't, and they are actually oppressed, and these are tools that offer like a way out of it. So, of course, it has its other edges, it has its other problems, but it's something that often we disregard, that maybe in Europe it's not so easy to see the value, even though it has also its value in Europe. But in many other countries where it's a bit less developed, it has even more potential than here. Mm. So that's something also to take into account. And one thing that I wanted to say at the beginning is that I guess in this podcast quite often you talk about ESG goals and this kind of thing. So the last one is G, is governance. And precisely DAOs are all about governance and democratizing everything. And that's the idea behind it. And DAOs, let's say the blockchain technology, offers a transparent, neutral way for governance. And that's the main idea. Of course, you could do it with a database, but you have to trust the company or the person operating that database, while for the blockchain, you don't have to. And for the blockchain, you have tools that, as I said, open source and ready to use out of the box. You don't need to make any deals with anyone. You just can use it and start operating with everyone else. And that was the idea of the internet native is interoperability. So, of course, if you are running everything on a AWS server or in Google Cloud or whatever, you could say that, those, of course, you are internet native. But it's very hard many times to connect different systems that you are using or different apps, while the ideals of Web3 are precisely that people build a module that you later can compose with another module, well, basically decentralized applications and protocols and different things, that the ideology in Web3 is open source, is openness to everyone, is decentralization, is neutral tools. And this is something that you don't have outside of Web3. And DAOs are like, let's say, the organizations that are born from within Web3. That's what we are talking about here.
Mm-hmm. So imagine a situation that a person from the street wants to do a company, and he wants to provide services worldwide. And services, for example, consultation or something which is very easy to provide because we have an internet. And he wants to build it up in a way that he's not alone. And he wants to have a partnership with many, many similar people who have like similar knowledge, but different jurisdictions or different countries. So it's a very easy tool. You just make internet native organization or a DAO, and you connect that to the jurisdiction, and you are together. You're not alone, and you can trust each other. If you do like transparent business, obviously, yeah, then you can really trust each other because you are using the simple tools to bring transparency. And right now, I think only maybe Web3 blockchain developers or let's say
enthusiasts
are aware of these tools that you can use daily. I mean, even if we talk about ChatGPT, then how many people right now are using it daily? I'm not sure that many of mainstream people are using it. I am. Javier is also probably, yeah. Anyway, so what I want to say, these tools are already there and available, but people are not aware. So, and someone who you can trust, which can be INO, for example, is needed to bring more trust and awareness to the whole environment. Mm.
So basically, it's a marketing exercise, right?
Yeah, some
job for me. Yeah. Is there something similar going on in other European countries? Do you know? Is there any kind of that drives to bring DAO to the, I don't know, legal framework on the EU level or in some of the other EU countries? I mean, you mentioned Malta earlier, but.
Well, Malta's just mentioning, like, not mentioning, it's just issued this, I would say, a paper which states that there is something such as a DAO and it might fall under securities if it goes. I mean, it's like case by case. But we cannot say that anything exactly similar is going on. What we can say is that there are some NGOs who are trying to do something similar, but they're more into crypto generally, because they are trying to when we talk about, for example, the AML laws in European level, MiCA, for example, market assets. So MiCA is trying to regulate crypto assets in Europe, and it's going to be effective after 2 years. So we have time until that. And during this time, during this period, a lot of NGOs and collaborative organizations are talking and heavily like lobbying, trying to save something, yeah, which can be saved. Because we don't want too many regulations, right? And we are also against too many regulations. And this is why we want to bring awareness before somebody regulates DAO heavily or just bans, for example, like China, we can say, is doing. When we talk about Estonia, we see a huge potential here. We have e-residency program. We have e-residents already, like thousands of them, tens of thousands of companies. Of course, there is AML risk. There's money laundering risk that we have to face. And this is what we have to solve, actually, in Estonian jurisdiction, in every other jurisdiction as well. In Estonia, we are actually doing quite good because we have a business register, which is we have this data public. So it's something very different from other European countries. Some businesses don't like it, of course, but in the future. So imagine you're a company who wants to bring transparency to show, let's say, if you have two companies who are doing the similar thing, who are looking for investors, to who you will give the money? The one who is transparent or the one who is not?
It's obvious, right?
Obvious, yeah. So, yeah, shortly.
Mm. What's next for you guys? What will you achieve in 2023?
Oh, a lot of things.
That's a good beginning.
Yeah, hopefully we are going to be helping build out several DAOs and have legal entity in Estonia. I mean, help DAOs have legal entity in Estonia. Mostly to study what are the, let's say, not the consequences, but how they can operate within a legislation. And how can we scale that up, like extend it to other countries, to the whole world, so that people can operate in a DAO borderless, in the sense as I would participate in any community, I would participate in a community without being worried that, well, I might be called to court because I did something that I didn't know. Yes, participating in a DAO, I was held liable for something. That's one thing. When we want to build up DAOs. And the other thing that we want to figure out building DAOs is, how to do it in like normal businesses. Because right now DAOs are very popular within crypto and Web3, and they are actually very successful. But they are not adopted by usual businesses. And actually, even within Web3, they have some problems like participation. Many times, most of the like DeFi DAOs, decentralized finance DAOs, they lack participation because the members don't know enough to participate, or they just delegate them to someone. So DAOs are actually being in itself a good democracy research group, because each DAO is facing the same problems democracy has been facing for centuries. And so basically researching on how to do it. It's like we don't know what is the outcome of it. That's why we are investigating about that. And our goal is not to build technological tools, because that is done and by very smart people. Our goal is to use those tools and help people use those tools in order to use it, like in general, and give feedback and try to go forward together. That's the main idea.
And beside that, I mean, Javier, definitely you're gonna heavily research on on things. But what is our responsibility more in the team is bringing more awareness with events, definitely bringing up together the community, collaborating with law firms, with the e-residency team, with the regulators, and also beyond the limit, beyond not the limits, beyond beyond the borders, with other organizations. And our like big goal is to create this sandbox in Estonia for DAOs. Like how we can bring, how we can solve the legal problems, challenges that we are having or might have regards to DAOs in Estonia. And definitely one of the biggest challenges there is anti-money laundering topics, KYC, like know your client. Like, so yeah, doing events, bringing up, bringing together communities, spreading the word, talking, lobbying in a positive way, I mean, yeah. It's a non-profit organization, so definitely we
hope... So all the money coming in goes to lobbying.
More to awareness and helping people to build up their DAOs in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main idea.
How many DAOs there are Estonia-linked?
Estonia-linked?
I mean, most of them are probably Estonia-linked by some person taking part of it, but kind of having the...
Into jurisdiction?
I mean, for me, the legal and the DAO is something which is a bit hard to kind of combine.
I don't know the exact number. I know that several that are kind of half registered in Estonia.
Yeah, it's a complicated question yes, we can say a number, but every next day some law firm might register some like OU or MTU, like as a DAO, but we don't know about this, right? How can we know about if somebody is not telling to us? So definitely there are some projects and like first projects, which are also published. But very nice. Okay, yeah, for Estonia it doesn't work, but if you were asking that question from me about the world, then probably we should, it's good to mention for the others to also, where you can research about DAOs in worldwide is a deepdao.io. So if you go that website, you will see a lot of statistics and you will see why we're talking about this topic, because there are like right now I will just open the website. And what I will see, the total treasury right now kept in DAO organizations is $10.3 billion. It's a huge amount of money. And we can see that only 2,311 companies are sharing this
data.
Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
So
one can guess that there is actually much, much, much more, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's and there, if you go to this website, I will say again, deepdao.io, you can just, if you don't know anything about DAOs, you just go there, you check the list of DAOs. There are organizations, they're decentralized organizations. Many of them are just like, maybe if you're into Web3, you know them, like Uniswap, for example, or Knossis, or Aave, Polkadot. Maybe you've heard any of these, but literally... these projects are all decentralized. It means they have governance. Sometimes the liability is more shared, sometimes not. It depends on the governance, right? But they are all registered. And you can check what's going on there, actually, if you know a bit of how to check these things. And if you don't know, ask Javier. And you can also filter out, for example, if you want to check categories, there are like creator good, political... if we check that, then we will see that there are also like climate DAO, there is bankless DAO, Ukraine DAO is also here listed, another climate DAO is there, like green topic,
lots of communities basically. Mm-hmm. Like many times those communities are linked to another project or they are under a foundation, so most of them don't live alone in this, at least the biggest ones, they don't live alone, they live with a project, and it makes sense. I mean, it's an organization, it has a purpose, and And the best cases are mostly DeFi cases. Those are the ones that work the best. And of course, in that sense, we have some in Estonia because we have some DeFi projects that are going on here. Also some climate projects and even that are using DAO, a couple of NFT projects. Yes, they are also using DAO. But I don't know, maybe a dozen projects. I don't know. I don't know exactly what would be the number.
Mm, time to improve that.
Yes, that's our goal. And yeah. It doesn't need to be a huge project, it can be a small project. And actually, I think the best use is for small projects more than for bigger ones, because scalability is always a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we can also confirm that we are also a DAO, obviously. We are registered in Estonian business register as a DAO.
Yeah.
And when you check the AOA, then you will see that our document of you will check that and you will understand that we are connected to the internet, because you will see the
you're connected to the internet. That's shocking. maybe last thing to wrap up the somebody is thinking about, do they need a DAO or not? What's the key sales argument, or what from a person setting up an organization? Why do they need a DAO?
How many stakeholders do they have? Like different people that have a stake on the project, and how much trust do you need? Like if it's total foreigners, let's say, or people that don't know each other, then DAO is definitely the way to go around it, because then you don't need to trust each other, let's say, in a social way. You just need to trust the way you are building it and the tools that you are using for it. So that's the straightforward case. Of course, you can use it even if you know other people, because with that you are mitigating risks. You are putting barriers to do things wrong. So yeah, if you have if you are yourself and just some employers under you, then it might make no sense. But I guess for everyone, it makes sense to have a DAO at some point. It depends on how much do you want a community to have decisions in what you are doing. A community, or how much do you want to decentralize the decision making sometimes not the decision making, but how much do you want to listen to the opinion of the stakeholders?
Mm.
So that's the main idea. The
decision making challenge is always this classical, was it the Henry Ford quote that if you leave it to the people, then we would be still improving the wheels of the carriage or something like that.
Yeah, but DAOs don't mean that people decide everything. DAOs usually they have leaders that are proposing, and then people vote on that. And DAOs actually many times are not direct democracy, in the sense that not everybody is voting directly. You have also delegation. DAOs are mimicking how democracy has developed for centuries, and there has been researchers and academics that have been working on that. So in that sense, it's not just starting from Greece again, but building on top of it. And of course, if you want direct democracy, DAO permits it or allows it very easily, but if you are starting to scale, what is happening is DAOs are forming within DAOs. So the way that the hierarchy goes is that you have smaller DAOs within a DAO. So you have basically smaller communities that are operating among each other, and that's the way it works.
So democracy is kind of an example of DAO.
For example, Estonia.
Well, I would say DAO is an example of democracy. And DAO is what is bringing democracy to everything, not just to the government. And a fair democracy, in the sense that it's transparent and truly decentralized and neutral. Because the base for it, the technology is allowing for it.
Mm.
That's the idea behind it.
It's a good point to wrap up on the kind of key governance enabling chat for this week. Join us again for the Nature Pact next week. Cheers.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electric acid. Ever thought about starting your own podcast?
Do you have a business or a message you want to share with the world?
Well, now it's easier than ever with Electricast. Hi, I'm Mark Netter.
And I'm Peter Rafelson. We're the founders of Electricast Media.
Whether you want to start a new podcast or already have one, join Electricast to grow your audience, monetize your content, and build your community.
With our simple sign-up, you get free promotion, world-class analytics, premium ads, and personal support.
Go to Electricast.com and join our community today.
Electricast. Transform your influence.
Electric acid.
Electric acid.